Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning. Stay standing for just a moment. You know, today is Pentecost Sunday, and sometimes at C3, we don't necessarily announce that because every Sunday at C3 is Pentecost Sunday. Sometimes people just talk about the Holy Spirit once a year at their churches on this Sunday. But you know, this was the most important church growth, church empowerment day after Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, went to meet the Father. He says, go and wait for the gift. Wait for my Spirit. Wait for the power. And then the Holy Spirit comes to that upper room and the fire falls down and everything changes and begin to speak in other languages. And Holy Spirit just absolutely shifts everything in that moment. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers the life of the believer. I think most of us, or many of us in this room, would be actively engaging with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not, man, don't wait. There's more. There's another level of following Jesus when we're supercharged with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we come around the time of the Word, this is one of the most powerful times the Holy Spirit is active in our lives, right? Because as I lean into the Word of God, I get a chance to have the author, right? The Bible is the inspired Word of God, the Holy Spirit, inspiring men and women throughout history to write and to articulate what God's revelation was to man. And so now we get a chance to allow the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts to hear the Word of God. And years ago when I was younger, my dad said, hey, before you read the Bible, always ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us and reveal His Word to us here this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank You. We thank You for Your presence here this morning. Thank You, God, that You hear us, You speak to us, You're with us. Father, I thank You You didn't leave us on earth on our own, but You sent the Holy Spirit in power and authority and strength and boldness to guide us, comfort us, strengthen us, heal us, restore us, and bring us closer to Your presence than we could ever know otherwise. And so today, God, as we lean into Your Word, God, I pray that You'd speak to every single individual. Holy Spirit, we're open, and we invite You here this morning. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Man, I'm excited about what God wants to do this morning. And believe it or not, we're going to get a word from God out of the book of Numbers. Come on, somebody. All the mathematicians are stoked. And let's give it up for our worship team. Honestly, you guys, so good this morning. Thanks for leading us into the presence of God. And I love that. Every time we lean in, God responds. Amen. Numbers chapter 14. Let me read a verse here, and then we'll kind of give the backstory on it. Numbers 14, verse 24. I'm going to read that in just a moment. We're kicking off a series today called Stretch. And I encourage you guys, if you're not normally a two service a day, or if you've already been to two and you're not normally a three service a day person, come tonight. We got the bishop, the doctor, the pastor, Pastor Matt, preaching tonight. And if anybody has enlarged and stretched my life to go to the next level and everything that God has, it's been Pastor Matt. So you don't want to miss tonight. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be, I got a preview of the notes. You don't want to miss it, okay? But today, this morning, there's something that has got to stretch if we're going to do everything God wants, and that's what I want to talk about here this morning. Let's get into it. Numbers 14, verse 24 says this, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Okay, so we're coming onto a scene. I'm going to give the backstory in a second. But there's a man named Caleb that is about to get access into what God has for him because of this difference. Because it says that he has a different spirit, so God is going to give him the inheritance that he's seen, that he's walked in, that he's discovered, that he's spied out. God is going to give him something, him and his descendants. Interesting note, important note, that God wants to do something in us, not just for us alone, but for those who will come after us, amen? Not only our family, but everyone around us, we have the opportunity to impact. See, the backstory on this goes back to Numbers chapter 13, and this is the story before the iconic story that many would maybe be familiar with of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Anyone ever heard that story before? Just want to see where I'm at. Okay, many of you, this may be your first time to church, or you don't like raising your hands. I'm not sure. Okay? Joshua and the Battle of Jericho is this iconic story that you a lot of times maybe have heard. You march around the city and the walls come down. It's powerful. It's unbelievable. And they enter into the Promised Land. But before that story is possible, before that happens, Moses, by God's power, brought the Israelites out of slavery, out of Egypt. Now they're in the wilderness and they're kind of at the door, the gateway into the Promised Land. And God instructs Moses to do something. And let's look at that in Numbers 13, verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, send some of the men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites," right? So Moses sends one of the leaders of each of the 12 tribes of Israel to go and check out the Promised Land. So they've done all the miracles of the Red Sea, and now they are heading towards this Promised Land that God had been talking about, and that this deliverance was ultimately destined for this new territory, this new land that God had. And so the 12 leaders, and two of them being Joshua and Caleb, those are the two names we'd be more familiar with if you've grown up in church. The other 10, nobody knows their names. They're actually in the Bible, but I don't care to repeat them because no one cares about them, and you'll find out why, okay? Wow. Was that harsh? Luke, was that mean? Did it sound mean? I apologize. Some of y'all thought I was nice, and then I just said we don't care about people. And now you're hurt. So, I'll explain it why. Numbers chapter 13, going down in verse 26, I'll jump into that. This is right after the 12 have gone in, they've explored the land, they've checked out this promised land that God had spoke about, they've checked out the scenario. Now they're coming back and they're giving the report. Imagine Joshua and Caleb, they're pumped in this moment, there's a group of 12, they're about ready to give the speech, they've elected a leader to kind of be the spokesman for what's going on over there, and it's not Joshua or Caleb, it's one of the other tribal leaders who's given the update. In verse 26, as they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, there they reported to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you had sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan." And then Caleb steps onto the scene, because I just imagine he's in this group giving the report to Moses and the Israelites, and he's amped because he feels like this is about to be something good news, and all of a sudden the conversation goes south hardcore, and Caleb is like, What the heck? This is not the same thing I was reporting to the boss. And all of a sudden, you ever been in a staff meeting like a group meeting like that where the report's going sideways on you? Caleb steps in and says, he silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Wow, this is a little different. A little bit of a different story. It says, verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people who we saw there are great in size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak who had come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. We looked the same to them. Man, this is a story of two drastically different responses to the promised land that God had set before them. And it says, as we jumped ahead, that Caleb gets to inherit it because he has a different spirit, whereas the other 10 tribal leaders, man, they're coming back with all kinds of negativity, all kinds of drama that they're speaking about what God had said. And here's the reality. Sometimes when God is wanting to take you into new territory, when God is wanting to stretch your life and advance you into that next level that he has for you, sometimes there's going to come a point where there's some adjusting that needs to happen. Right. Anyone ever driven in a vehicle that their alignment was off, right? Right? You get on the freeway and all of a sudden you can notice the alignment's off because you get going up over 60 and all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Like this car just starts shaking. Not just because I have a Prius, you know what I'm saying? Like, Priuses go way faster than 60. They do. I know it's hard to believe. 65 is... No, I was going 80. Just kidding. 75. Whatever the limit is. All right. So here's what happens. God wants to take you into the promised land, and what the 10 spies were experiencing is some shaking because of lack of alignment. Right? So they come in, and they're trying to enter in, and God's trying to bring his people in. He's trying to accelerate them to the next level. But all of a sudden, there's some shaking going on because of an alignment issue. And the deal with the car alignment, the only way to stop the shaking is two options. One is you slow down, or two, you got to get your alignment fixed, right? Not rocket science, pretty basic. But here's what the enemy often tries to do is get you and me to slow down. Right? God's got more for you. You start accelerating. You start noticing something's a little off, something's shaking a little bit, and your tendency and the enemy's lies in your ear to say, hey, come on, you can't do that. Come on, slow down. Come on, back up. There's some turbulence, sort of some shaking, some rough situation going on, and the enemy will try to get us to back off, decelerate, kind of let off the gas a little bit. But what God wants to do is do some alignment. God wants to tweak some things so that you can enter in to what you have. See, the problem with the Israelites is that kind of a majority ruled in that moment. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, we got this. The 10 said, we don't got this. And it might seem like 2 versus 10, couldn't they just fought it out? But that was 10 that represented all of the Israelites, right? So you had this massive majority of the Israelites who got all up in fear, got all up in doubt, got all up in worry, got all up in this whole thing. And God says, you know what? Forget you guys. He goes, because of your complaining and your doubt and your whatever, guess what? You're staying in the wilderness. And you know what? They got stuck there. They got stuck in that situation and didn't get a chance to enter into the promised land because of how they spoke, because of the words. Joshua and Caleb had this different spirit, but the other Israelites had a different subpar vocabulary. And really, if we understand the reality of if God wants to take you to another level, that means we got to begin to change some vocabulary. See, each level has a language. Each level has its current language. See, you and me are exactly where our language has taken us. You and me are exactly where the kind of verbiage that's coming out of our mouths has taken us. And God wants to take us into some next level language, right? If we're going to go to the next level, we got to have next level kind of language. Nobody likes to hear that, right? And I don't even hardly like to preach it because it's such a personal responsibility situation, right? I'd rather pretend like it was everybody else's fault that I stay where I'm at rather than acknowledging, you know what, actually, I'm exactly where I've taken myself. It's a little bit like golf. You have any golfers, right? Anybody like to golf? You know when you hit the ball and it goes where you didn't want it to go? Even though it went where you didn't want it to go, how many know it went exactly where you hit it? There's no getting around it. That ball went exactly where you hit it. It will go exactly where you hit it every single time. You can't complain about the ball. You can't, it must be this fact or that fact. No, no, no. It's like, it's going to go where you hit it. And our life goes where our vocabulary takes us. Our life goes where our language takes us. If you don't like the level you're at, time for some new language. Time to switch it up. If we want to go to new levels, we got to have new language, right? Our words are powerful. They give us access to that next space. Anyone ever build like a tree fort or have a club house or something like that when you were a kid, right? Or some private club, and it was, you always had passwords, right? Secret handshakes, different things like that to get in, you know? And you had to have that right password. If you don't have that right word, that right password, then guess what? You don't get in, right? You're blocked out. And it's the same thing with the purpose and the destiny and the call that God has on your life. A lot of times we're frustrated because maybe things are shaking or you don't feel like, man, how come I'm not getting where I want to go? How come everybody else seems like they're getting favor and blessing? How come I'm not there? I'm not there yet. Well, guess what? It's not that God loves anybody else anymore. Chances are your vocabulary is out of alignment. The way you're talking, speaking, declaring is off track. And we underestimate the power of our words to give us access or to keep us out of the promised land that God has for us. You know, from the very beginning, we see the power of the word of God that he spoke and our world began, right? The very words of God. And we're created in that image. And all throughout the Bible here, God speaks to us about how our words have life and death in them, right? That we can speak life or we can speak death simply with the words that we use. The Bible uses another analogy about the tongue or our words being like a rudder in a ship. It's amazing how small our tongue is, but how it sets the course of our life. Just like a rudder on a ship, it's small, but it sets the course of the ship. How can something so small steer something so large? That's the reality of our words. Sometimes we think, it's just me. This is how I talk. This is how I am. Well, then that's where you'll stay, right? If that's how you talk, oh, I'm not about all that like encouraging talk, you know, that seems a little bit hyped up, you know. Pastor Matt's always talking about next level, accelerating. He's always posting about lions and taking over the world. I just found out who follows you on Instagram. Anyone who didn't laugh doesn't follow you on Instagram, okay? Follow your pastor. Come on. Get hyped up, though. Pastor Matt, he's always declaring. He's always prophesying about his day, his week, his moment, right? Because he's saying, I got stuff to do. I can't have this loose vocabulary that isn't focused on what God wants for me, right? Destroys. We have creative force. I love it. And I know for me, every time I feel like God has accelerated my life in different seasons, it was because of a change of language. It was a change of how I talked. It was a change of how I thought that a different declaration started coming out of my spirit, out of my mouth. I remember one of those times was years back when I was an intern at Bible College up in the Seattle area. And I was serving in our junior high ministry and I was carrying a bunch of different stuff. And I was meeting with my youth pastor, who was also kind of my intern director at the time. And I was just feeling overwhelmed and overloaded. And I just said, I don't think I could handle any more than this. And that was like a red flag to a bull for my pastor, intern director at the time. He goes, oh, okay, that's cool. He goes, so you're basically saying you don't want to do anything great with your life? And I was like, no, that's not what I said, you know. He's like, so you're saying that you're never going to have a real major impact in life? I was like, wow, okay, harsh, you know. Like, no, that's not what I said. I just said I feel overwhelmed and overloaded and I can't do any more than this. And he's like, okay, so you're saying, he starts naming kind of the big pastors that maybe I would idolize, you know, like, you know, Pastor Phil Pringle, Pastor Juergen, Pastor Brian Houston, some of these others. So he goes, so you're saying you will never do anything at their level. Oh, well, because I always dreamed as a kid, I want to change the world. So now he's basically telling me I've decided that I'm not going to do anything great with my life. So I was like, no, I got this. He goes, so you're saying those pastors somehow figured out have more hours in a day. Is that what the deal is? Because you can only handle that, but they're handling a lot more. So they must have extra hours, extra days in the week. And I was like, okay, got you. But you know what? That challenging confrontation, some of y'all think that was a conversation between me and Pastor Matt, but it wasn't. yeah, there's others that are similar to that. But you know what? It was that challenge to kind of get me, sort of like shake me a little bit to go, no, I got this. And the simple vocabulary change I did was I went from, this is all I can handle, to I began to say, I can handle this and much more. I can handle this and much more. And it was not massive, but simple, but it was powerful how much that changed. All of a sudden, my leadership expanded in that moment. I began to take new ground that I didn't think I could do before, because in my mind, I had decided, this is all I can do. This is all I got. This is my full capacity. And then I shifted and broke through my language barrier, and I began to say, come on, God, I can do this and much more. This is just the beginning. And now I laugh at that version of me because I'm doing a lot more than that. But you know what? This isn't all I can do right now. I can do what I'm doing now and much more, right? I've got more territory to take. I got more to do. And if I'm not careful, I could go, yeah, sweet, I broke out of that challenge, but now I get stuck in the next level. But how many know, whatever level you've broken into, if God has more for you, which, spoiler alert, he does, okay, then it's time to keep talking that next level, talking next level language. How's your relationships? What kind of vocabulary, what kind of language is consistent among your friends? How are you speaking to them? If you're married, how's your vocabulary with each other, right? What kind of language is being spoken between the two of you as a couple, or between you and your kids as a family? What kind of dialogue is there? Because that vocabulary is going to keep you where you are, or it's going to take you to another level. You want a better friendships, then you got to speak life into people, right? You want to grow, then you got to get around other big people and stop downplaying them or stop trying to pull each other down. Instead, go, hey, I'm going to get around people who are next level than me and allow them to pick up my dialogue, right? Allow them to impact my life. You know, in business, in calling, in whatever scenario it is, you are right now where your language has taken you. If you want a better marriage, the good news is you can have it. You want a better, more successful business, the good news is you can have it, right? But it may require some change. It may require an alignment of your vocabulary to begin to speak differently and talk differently, right? Okay. The children of Israel could not enter the promised land until they got their language right. So literally, that is why it was a 40-year journey in the wilderness. It's because they had to eradicate language of doubt and complaining out of the family of the Israelites, and then they were able to take the land, right? So same thing with you and me. You might feel like you've been circling. You're frustrated. How come I can't break through? I see the promised land. It's literally a seven-day journey over there, and here I am in the wilderness just cruising around. Guess what? Change your dialogue. What kind of language are you speaking? What kind of vocabulary is coming out of your life. Let's talk a little bit about that different spirit that Caleb had. Here's some things that I think we can draw from the story as far as how do we have that next level language? What do we do to stretch our dialogue into the future of what God has for us? First thing we got to do is we got to silence the limitations. Silence the doubters. Silence the haters. If you got haters, silence them. Everybody likes to talk about haters now. Does anyone actually have people hate you? Kelsey's got haters, y'all. She's got haters. You know what though? Haters hate. You know what I mean? They do. But you know what? For real though, silence doubt, silence limitations. You know, the other 10 spies are going, we can't do this. They're too big. Caleb steps into the scene and says, hey, he silences the crowd. Listen, guys, I don't know what these guys are talking about, but we can do it. You know, we got this. And a lot of times in our lives, we've got to begin to learn how to silence or mute conversations of doubt and limitation that are coming at us. Some of it, much of it, is in our own heads, right? We got to learn how to be transformed by the renewing of our own minds, right? Start thinking differently ourselves. But also, a lot of times, it's about sometimes the crew that we get around. If you're related to somebody who's always speaking doubt, well, that's just it. You're related. You can't leave them. So, okay. So you have to learn how to deal with it. You got to learn how to deal with it. If you're married to him or her, then you try to grow together, right? Encourage each other. And the best way to help them stop talking like that is to not talk crap about them for talking crap, right? Speak life into them. Just pull them up out of that gutter of vocabulary by speaking life and hope and vision into them and not being like, come on, you're always so negative. Guess what? They're going to keep being negative, okay? So that ain't going to help. Man, you just got to speak life, breathe life into each other, amen? Silence those limitations. Silence the doubts that try to come after you. You know what? Oftentimes it can seem when you're trying to go after the promises of God, sometimes it feels in the heat of the moments, in difficult seasons, that the voice of God seems quieter, and boy, those fears get loud. You know, and we just have to learn how to be smart enough to identify that and silence it and stop listening to it. Stop pandering to that voice. Amen. All right. Next thing we got to do is we have to have vocabulary that's focused forward. That's focused forward. I love how Caleb, he says, you know, the other Israelites are whining about all kinds of garbage and drama and talking about the past heroes of the enemies on the other side. And Caleb's like, we should go up. We should take possession of the land. We can do it, right? So his dialogue is about what God is doing. A lot of times we can get caught up in maybe what God did in the past or old stories or questioning or just dealing with the difficulty of now rather than using our God-given ability to keep our vocabulary focused forward, because wherever our language goes, that's where we go, right? If you keep talking about the past or you keep talking about the present difficulty, you're going to stay right in that. You'll never be able to enter the promised land that God has for you unless you begin to speak in the direction that God is calling you, right? Speak that way. Speak forward. Declare forward. Keep focusing what God is doing, not just what he's done. You know, even if you've had some good days in the past, I'm telling you what, we serve an ever-present God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve a God who's got more ahead for you. We serve a God that didn't, you know, use up all of his best power, all of his best tricks when you were younger or when you first started this thing. Man, God has got something for you to step into. He's got more ahead for you, right? Keep focusing on what's next. The next thing we got to do is we got to have a vocabulary or a language that declares victory. Is there victory in your vocabulary? Obviously, I'm enjoying myself by rhyming a lot. Sorry about that. But for real, victory. What kind of verbiage is coming out of your mouth? Caleb says, we got this. We can take the land. They're going, man, we're grasshoppers. We're done for. I love it. Actually, they say, man, they'll swallow us up. Caleb says, we'll swallow them up, right? He's got a different kind of vocabulary. I just want to remind you that you need to have a voice of victory that comes out of you. You need to have a declaration of victory. And this dialogue is this prophetic part of us that declares something that's not as though it is yet. It's a part of us that says, you know what, if God has spoken to me, then I'm going to get a declaration that comes up out of me. I'm going to let a roar, I'm going to let a passion, I'm going to let a stirring come up on the inside of me that says, you know what, I'm going to declare victory in this situation. I'm going to be like David, who's staring down the giant and says, listen, the giant's like, man, I'm going to take you out. David's like, you know what, guess what, today I'm taking you out. He's this young kid. He has no weapons. But he's got this victory vocabulary that's coming out of him. And I don't know what kind of dialogue is coming out of your mouth, but I just want to encourage you. Stop talking defeat. Stop talking about your kid going off the rails. Stop talking about your company failing. Stop talking about your marriage being on the rocks. Stop talking doubt and defeat. Start declaring victory, victory, victory over your situation. God's with you. Come on. Victory. Come on. Anyone seen some of the latest movies and documentaries around Winston Churchill? Love that guy. So intense. I mean, I love the stories about him. I didn't get to meet him, but one of the things is always told about him is just this, like, this level of, you look him in the eye, he's like, we got this. We're going to take this thing. We're going to defeat, you know, Nazi communism. We're going to defeat it. We're going to take it out. Okay, my history is weak. Talk about power of vocabulary. I said leak accidentally, and now my face. Okay. It's an illustration. I don't normally... Katie, I'm sorry. I'm getting off the rails. I got to stay focused. I haven't even had any Red Bull, Nate. No Red Bull. I'm still acting like this. I got to stop. Okay. The other thing about our vocabulary has to be affirm God's promises. They're going, we ain't got this, the 10 spies. Caleb says, we got this because if you remember... Numbers 13, verse 1 says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. So there's already a word from God that's been given. There's already a word, I'm giving you this land. So 10 out of the 12 go, we ain't got this land. The two are like, hey guys, we got this land. We can do this. God's for us, right? And so a lot of times in our lives, we experience that alignment shake, that out of alignment turbulence as we're trying to take ground because the words that are coming out of our mouth are not in alignment with the word that God has spoken to us. And we have got to be careful that we don't start speaking doubt when God has given us a word. What has God said to you? What has God spoken to you? What has God promised you? I want to encourage you, keep speaking out those promises. Keep declaring the word of God over your life. You know, I found in my life a lot of times what will happen is around faith, around the call, around vision, around purpose that I feel like God has spoken to me about. It's not like when difficulty comes, I start saying, man, well, looks like this ain't gonna happen. Guess God left me. I suck at life and I'm never going to accomplish what God wants. I don't use that kind of extreme opposite dialogue. Usually what happens is I just stop talking and reaffirming God's word, right? So as in the beginning, when God first spoke to me, I would repeat that word, declare that word, tell everybody around me that word. Come on, God said this about me. God's taken us here. God's taken me there. And all of a sudden, I hear a little turbulence, a little bit of difficulty, and I just stop talking about it. It's not like I start spitting doubt as much as I just stop affirming the word of God in my life. And when I use my words in alignment with God's word, that's when power is released into my situation. So what has God said? Start repeating it. What has God said in his word? Start declaring it. What has God spoke to you through the Holy Spirit? Prophesy that. Declare that over your life. Stop shrinking back from the call of God on your life and declare the word of God. Declare it over your life. Amen? All right. Last. And I'll have the keys come up and join me. The last thing about a next level kind of language, a faith stretching kind of dialogue is that it's a language that factors God into the equation. I love the Numbers 14:9. Caleb and Joshua are in this kind of heated debate still. It says, actually, I'll do Numbers 14. I'll start in verse 7. He said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up." I love that. They're like, man, we're grasshoppers. So Caleb shifts the dialogue and says, no, they're grasshoppers. You can just tell his buddy, we'll swallow them up. Don't be afraid of the people. We'll swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Man, I love that. The Lord is with us. A lot of times fear gets into our life because, and into our vocabulary because we've stopped factoring God into the equation. You see, the 10 that came back with the negative report, the report of doubt and fear, a lot of that was because they said, man, these guys are giants. We can't take them, right? They factored in the size of the giant to themselves versus God on their side. So they're saying, we can't do this. But David says, listen, Caleb, if God's with us, we got this. He wasn't talking about how great he was, how strong he was himself. He's going, listen, we are with God. God is with us. If he's for us, then we've got this, right? I just want to encourage us, wherever we've allowed doubt to seep in, wherever we allow fear and negative dialogue to begin to creep into our lives in different settings, I want to encourage you, re-engage God into the conversation. Refactor the presence and the power of the Almighty God back into the conversation. And when you do, faith will begin to rise again. Hope begins to rise again. In the moment, circumstances may or may not change, but your perspective begins to shift. Your faith begins to rise again because you realize, listen, man, God's with us. If God's pleased with us, he will give us that land. God is for us. Man, what is it that promise that God has for? What's that next level that God has for? You know, it's going to require some new language. It's going to require leaving this current level of dialogue, myself included, wherever I'm at right now. Hey, God's been good, but I know there's more. I know God has more, so I've got to begin to speak at that next level. I've got to declare at that next level. I've got to begin to prophesy at that next level so I don't just stay stuck, stay where I'm at, stay complacent with what God has for me. Amen? Amen. You know, I believe that God just wants to breathe life and breathe some fresh faith into the room here this morning. I think that has already been prophesied with let faith rise, right? And so I just wonder, in the room here this morning, anyone who say, you know, this word's for me, maybe you realize your dialogue's been a little bit out of alignment, you know, with what God said. Maybe there's been some fear. Maybe there's been some doubts that have been creeping into how you've been talking and thinking and enacting, and you say, man, you know what? I need a fresh infusion of faith, a fresh touch of faith in my life, boldness to keep stepping after what God has for me, or however you feel like the word has hit you and this is for you. Just go ahead and lift up your hand. I want to know who I'm praying with around the room. Yeah, a lot of us, absolutely. I just want you to stand to your feet. Let me just pray over you real quickly. Father, in Jesus' name. God, let faith rise. Let faith rise in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray for every single man, every single woman in this room that is facing their own giants, facing their own situations, and maybe they've felt like grasshoppers. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we begin to factor you back into the conversation. God, you're with them and not against them. You're for them and not against them. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, a fresh infusion of faith. I just declare faith over your life. I impart a spirit of faith into the room right now that God is for you. That nothing will be impossible for you because God is walking with you. God wants to begin to arrest your tongue. You got to surrender that vocabulary. You got to surrender that vocabulary to Him and ask God to begin to give you a new language. God to begin to give you a new spirit of faith to come up out of the inside of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, every dream, every purpose, every passion that you put on the inside of them, Father, I declare it will be done according to your word. It will be done according to your word. I thank you, God, that your arm is not too short. I thank you, God, that you are not distant and disconnected from the cries of the heart of the people in this room. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I declare the vision to be that and much more. God, I thank you that not only are we going to come back to a previous level of faith, but God, we're going to exceed that. God, that you're enlarging the vision. You're enlarging faith over our life. You're increasing faith in our life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you receive that, give God a hand clap of praise here this morning.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.